So we're in the middle of discussing the question of Mubala Teyavon. Again, just to remind us where we were. And particularly Shitas Harambam, which I was suggesting, seems to strongly indicate a cumulative pattern in which he formalizes and consistently understands Mumila Teyavon to be a real, we'll just use the phrase, again, question of the Nusach is a question, but to be a real Meshumad, let's say, we want to emphasize, you know, the Tzad HaChomor and the Gavra and the pattern, Gavra Russia, etc. Again, the idea being, as we were discussing, that there are two ways to look at Mumila Teyavon, just objectively, the circumstances themselves, pretty much, you know, point to, you know, certain kind of a dialectic where we approach this kind of spiritual profile. On the one hand, Lo Shavak Hetera V'Achali Sura and Yitzro Tokfo, right? In other words, these are the, I guess, redeeming qualities, the mitigating factors in perceiving him as a Rasha Gamor. On the other hand, you know, there is, of course, no such a ptur anus. Moreover, the fact that a person's, you know, level of resistance, his self-discipline, is so easily overcome or overridden, you know, in addition to saying something about his, you know, capacity for self-discipline or his, you know, passions and how strong they are, it likely also says much about his perspective, his commitment generally, you know, to what it is that he is violating. Because every time you have a pressure and counter-pressure, his desire for whatever it is that he wants, you know, and the impediment, the obstacle of Dine Torah, it's hard to, you know, assess, you know, how much a decision that he makes, you know, reflects, you know, mostly on one or the other. Likely it reflects both. Obviously there can be different mumrim or types of mumrim as well. Now since we're talking mostly about people who also, you know, their designation or their the description that we're giving them is a function, not of a one, you know, time, you know, lapse, but somebody who's displaying kind of a pattern or exhibiting a pattern of behavior. So, you know, again, you could say, well, the pattern of behavior is all about his inability, you know, to control his, you know, his desires. But again, for sure, the more this happens, the more likely it is also that it highlights the unacceptable level of his commitment. Anyways, so since that's the issue of Mumar L'Tayavon, he's certainly not a Mumar L'Hachis, you know, but he's also not an Onus by any stretch of the imagination. And therefore, whether we primarily see him as a Rasha, you know, with some sort of, you know, Kula, or we see him as, you know, Yisrael Kosher, you know, but who's just, you know, Choshud or untrustworthy and extremely flawed, that isn't a matter of semantics. That's like an important question in terms of how formally and legally we look at him. As I said the other day, you know, the question of Yitamu Chotim and Yitamu Chataim. Alex brought to my attention that, you know, if we're talking not about Chataim, the sins that he does, but an Avaryan who is called not a Chote, but a, or plural, Chataim, then it also may imply that he's actually more, it's something more in his nature. It's not something that he happens to do, but that he's defined by the actions that he does. Of course, these are all critical questions. Anyways, what we wanted to discuss, what we're trying to establish, is that in the Shatavatarya of numerous, in the discussions already in the Gemara, now first we're establishing that objectively this is a question to be assessed, and a critical one at that, and one which has a lot to do with, again, philosophy of halacha, but what we expect of people, and therefore how we assess their weaknesses and their vulnerabilities. And again, you know, with obviously chilukim for, you know, how many times this happens, which averos or how many averos, you know, they are willing to sacrifice you know, for their other interests and desires, all of these things. But obviously this is reflected in Shakyamatarya as well. And we were suggesting that it might be connected to the debate in the Gemara whether Mumar Ochal Nevelos Latayavon, whether Bodek Sakin is going to work, you know, for that individual or not. Or you say, Kivin Dash Dash. It could be a purely psychological question. I mean, at what point, you know, do we not trust him anymore? Because, again, it is unquestionably psychologically true at minimum that once a person, you know, violates, and especially if he does it numerous times, that Nasa Lo Keheter, you know, so just the you know, the Chazaka of Lo Shavak Hetera of the Achali Sura, you know, becomes a weakened as well for all sorts of reasons. But what I was trying to suggest is that maybe that argument also is connected to this question. It isn't just a question behaviorally, you know, at what point we can rely upon him. But again, the more we see him as an Abarian, as a Russia, you know, again, not the same as Lahakis necessarily, you know, but, you know, a Gavra Russia, and somebody who loses some element, if not of Kedushas Yisrael, at minimum of Cheskas Kashrus, then, you know, then the idea that, you know, he, you know, kind of loses his standing when it comes to at least this particular mitzvah in a selective way, you know, makes a great deal of sense. Certainly if we think, so that's a question within the view of Mumar Laoso Hadabar, and what the Rambam's view is on that question with regard to Shchita is a question. As we noted, the Gnamagen Mishnah's suggestion, second suggestion for the Rambam, is that he doesn't codify Rava because he doesn't hold like Rava. Most of the Nosa Kalim think, you know, that he just goes beyond Rava, but of course he includes Rava. The Lecha Mishnah, first day of the Magen Mishnah, probably the Kesef Mishnah, but especially the view that he might actually, you know, reject the view of Rava is fascinating. Either way, that's one issue. The second issue, you know, not the issue of, you know, Kivin Dadosh Ba'oso Davar. The second issue is the impact of being a Mumar L'Te'avon vis-a-vis other mitzvahs. And that, of course, again, you know, it's hard to completely isolate these factors. There's certainly also a psychological factor, and that's kind of what the Rush was, you know, trying to pin down. Would you say that a Mumar L'Davar Echad, a Mumar L'Te'avon L'Davar Echad, is treated as a Mumar L'Te'avon And in our case, the Nafka Mina would be, do you need Vedika Sakin also for Mumar L'davar Acher Legabe Nevela? That, of course, again, is the Chiddush of the Rambam. Everybody's scrambling to figure out where the Rambam got it from. What I was trying to point out, and especially in conjunction with the second view of the Magen Mishnah, but even without it, is that in addition to that Psak, which is highly controversial, you know, and then the people want to know where he got it from, the fact that that is the Rambam's go-to default first halacha, that he doesn't even speak about Rava, he goes right to that, may even reject Rava, and even if he doesn't reject Rava, the fact that he, you know, equates these things and he begins with the Mumar L'davar Echad part, again, Lecha Mishnah thinks that the phrase Avera Mino Averos, you know, is the Rambam's subtle way of formulating, you know, both things at the same time, which is fascinating. But either way, the fact that he, you know, that the emphasis is with this controversial psak, and he doesn't even have to relate to, like, the one that's right in front of him in the pages of the Gemara, again, I find that to be surely significant. That, in conjunction with the fact that the Rambam, as the Nosa Kalim also pointed out, doesn't even mention L'Te'avon or L'Hakas, he just uses the expression Mumar or Meshumad, even better, if that's really different yourselves. You know, leaves it to your imagination. It's pretty clear that he's talking about Mumar L'Te'avon, because otherwise Bodek Sakin wouldn't help you. But the fact that he can, you know, leave that for you to figure it out, you know, and what benefit, you know, add the extra word L'Te'avon. I'm sure, you know, it wouldn't have cost that much more for the printer. But I think it's the Rambam's way of saying, you know, here's a Mumar L'Te'avon. But what I really want to accentuate here is that Mumar L'Te'avon is a Mumar. And that's why this halacha exists, namely mum l'dabar echad l'teyavon, hava mumar l'dabar acher l'teyavon, and you need bedika sakin, which the Rosh and the Ran and most Rishonim and no explicit Gemara, you know, thinks is true. Moreover, you know, again, the way that they understand that he learned this from the Shakla Vitarya, again, it accentuates again how, you know, every Havamina and Shaka Vitarya is a potential real Makar, because that's kind of where they're, you know, Pe'echad, the Kesef Mishnah, the Rosh, the Kesef Mishnah, the Ran, the Radvaz, the Lechem, they're all suggesting, that, you know, the Agin Mishnah, that the Rambam got it from the Shaka Vitarya, the Havamina of the Gemara about Orel, Mumrla Orel, Mumrla Dabar Echad, with the assumption that that's being equated to what we have in Maskan and Mumla Te'avon. So again, that itself, but even more than that, that implies also that when the Gemara says Mumla Dabar Echad Lo'avon Mumla Kol Tavar Kula, as we discussed, and as the Kesef Mishnah says explicitly, that that is referring to Mumla Te'avon and not Mumla Hakis versus Rashi and Tosis, and that too only makes sense if you take the view that a Mumar is a kind of Mishumud, namely default, he's a Rasha. He's a Rasha, but he's not a Rasha, you know, who is Kegoy, who loses his complete Kedushas Yisrael. So Omer al-Gabov will help, Bodek Sakin will still help, but don't let that mislead you. The Rambam's bigger Kiddush is not, you know, what will still work. It's that, you know, you need Bedika Sakin, and you call him a Mishumad, and you have to figure out that we're talking about L'Teyavon, because the bigger story is that, notwithstanding L'Teyavon, that he's a Mumar. And therefore, you know, there would have been a Havamina maybe that a Mumla Dabra could be a Mumla called Torah Kula, and Bode Sakin, never mind that you would need it, it wouldn't even help you. I mean, that we'd call him over the border. We'll see this in a couple of minutes in other contexts too, is that we would extend well beyond. That can only make sense if you have this particular view. So this is, I think, the Shitas HaRambam, and that's where it comes from. Again, the Rush is trying to say, well, if you're a Mumar, L'teyavon l'davar echad, you know, that shows that you're, you know, you have self-restraint problems and or, you know, halachic commitment problems or some combination thereof. And, you know, why wouldn't that also spill over, you know, into other areas, you know, of halacha? Again, the Rosh himself thinks it doesn't, and the Ran thinks it doesn't. He's saying this for the Ran. So if you understand that purely psychologically, that's fine. Obviously, they think, you know, the other Mepharshim, the ones who disagree with the Rambam, think, number one, it's not true psychologically, and number two, it's certainly not true formally. My suspicion is that the Rambam thinks that, maybe it is and maybe it's not psychologically. I'm not sure if you even need that. But that, more importantly, it is formally, meaning a Mubala Teyavon is a Rasha. And therefore, he's a Rasha Legabe, other areas of Halacha as well. Maybe not to the extent that he's a Rasha L'Osa Davar, especially if you think that he rejects Rava, you know, and thinks that Bodek Sakin is limited to, you know, L'Davar Echad, or L'Davar Echad, right, L'Davar Acher, is a better way to say it. So either way, what I'm trying to say is that the whole language of the Rambam, the formulation of the Rambam, presentation of the Rambam, the way he reads the Havamina, the way he, everything that he's doing and everything that he's not doing, basically, I'm saying, is something that is part of a shita, seeing Mubala Teyavon in a very harsh way. I believe that is what's happening in the Rambam. And that also spills over into the next halakha, which again is pretty much also a chiddush of the Rambam, to put it here, namely, the din of psuleidos, legabe shchita. And again, all the nosa kalim are left to explain, like, what is this even? The answer is the difference between, you know, somebody who, because of his maisa vera, became a rasha, right? V'hayam bina kosa rasha, that's the Rambam's view in Hukosedus. So if you look at Perik Yud Hukosedus, Rambam says are two ways for somebody to become psuleidos midaraisa. Right. One is if he does an Averish Yeshba Malkus, where you actually give him the Malkus, in other words, where he deserves the Malkus. That's Bahayim bin Hakos a Rasha. And the other is if he's a Rasha de Chamas, even though there's no Malkus, because it's Lav Anitak or Lav Shanita Matashlumin, but nonetheless, the Torah calls him a Rasha. So the answer is Psule Edus Daraisa depend on a shame Rasha. But that shame Rasha is not based on his pattern of behavior, right? It's based on a single Maisa Aveira. So what the Rambam is really telling us in here in the Shmita, and again, the fact that he didn't have to bring in this whole Halakha Tezvav here at all, but what he's telling us is, you know, that there are two types of Rasha, and when it comes to the question of extrapolating, you know, in particular, you know, from Mumma L'Davar Echa, Davar Acher, you know, to Mumma L'Nevelos, that the din of Gavra Meshumad, we'll call it, or Mumar, or Gavra Meshumad, right, that's the one, you know, that that is applicable. The one-time Maisa Vera that gives you a shame Rasha that you need to neutralize if you ever want to be an aid again, and maybe some other dinim, right, that doesn't take away your Kedusha Sisrael Legabe something like Shechita. But again, you only have to say all this if you're kind of working with a certain mentality, namely the mentality that you've just established, you know, not just a circumstances of chashash sheker, but a shame meshumad, a shame rasha, and then you have to distinguish. Again, this idea that you need that meshumad means, or mumar means, somebody who's ragil v'yadua umefursam, you know, etc., as we'll see in a moment, is something that the Rambam says more explicitly, assuming that he's talking about the same criterion, which I think he is, we'll see soon in Hilchos, when he talks about karbanos. We'll get that in a couple of minutes. Hilchos Maisa karbanos and Hilchos Shkagos. So basically, this is the view of the Rambam. Those who disagree with the Rambam can disagree, you know, in one of two ways. They can say the whole thing is just completely wrong. And Mumma L'Tayavon, again, is a flawed, you know, Jew, but Ein Lecha Bo kind of Ella, you know, Kilkulo, you know, what we know to be his Kilkul. Otherwise, we should, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't lose his, even Cheskas Kashrus beyond, you know, we look at his Aveira in a narrower way. We don't see it as being soft on mitzvos so much as we do on, you know, weak on discipline. And therefore, we kind of limit it as much as possible. That's one possibility. Or they possibly think that maybe the idea is correct, that a mumar l'tayavon is really a mumar, but they, you know, may just simply disagree with the idea that he's a mumar l'dvarim acherim. That maybe l'osav davar he's a mumar. And but not, you know, but every area of halacha is its own identity. And if that were the case, and that's an interesting argument too, you know, to what extent we do extrapolate or we do connect. So again, the more you look at the Gavra and the patterns of his behavior, the more you are probably likely to connect, you know, between different areas, probably, but not necessarily. But Josh made a good ha'ara after the shir, referring to the language of the Rambam. What's the language? Meshumad, how's it going? La Avera Min Averos? La Avera Min Averos? You know, that part of what the Rambam is saying here. One second. La Avera Min Averos Shel Torah. So he was just, yeah, that's pretty much what we're saying, but he's bringing out a different nekuda of it, which I think is an interesting ha'ara. And that is that, to what extent is the, yeah, Meshumad laverin averos, laverin averos. And he used the same expression again in I believe in Chicago's. The you know, in addition to everything that we're talking about, which is, you know, psychological patterns of behavior. I think it's much more than that. Gavra Russia, you know, legabe dvar melu, is part of this also fed by the view that Taryag mitzvos, you know, themselves are more interconnected than you might. So in that sense, you know, use the expression "meshumad la veira min averos" to try to show that, you know, every avera, you know, isn't an island or a world unto itself. This, of course, is an interesting question that affects so many different topics. but certainly also relevant to the question of Mishum L'davar Acher Hava Mishum L'davar Acher. But we've spoken about this a lot in terms of, you know, Horah and Talmud Torah, you know, being Roy L'Horah Shechol Torah Kula for the Rambam. The Rambam in general is somebody who has a very holistic, you know, integrative approach, you know, to all, you know, Taryag mitzvahs. And part of the Ramach and the Shasa, maybe the Mashal, you know, is this idea that, you know, all Kol HaTorah Kula is interconnected and constitutes, of course, you know, separate topics and themes, each with its own dynamic, but at the same time, you know, that they, you know, are intended also, you know, to form, you know, an integrated, holistic whole, and that if you reject, you know, a part, you know, then you're not just rejecting that part, but you're rejecting, you know, something that affects all of it, you know, part of the whole. Again, in the world that we talked about Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs and Geirus, you know, and why it is that there's a kapeda that you can't reject, you know, any, you know, any of it. Part of it is a merit thing, you know, but certainly part of it also is this idea of the interconnection of Kol HaTorah Kula. And I think a lot of indications of that. The fact that the Rambam, again, from a codification point of view, you know, expended all that, you know, effort and energy to, you know, to paskin Kol HaTorah Kula and to organize Kol HaTorah Kula, you know, something which, again, is just can never be underestimated, just what an enormous enterprise that was, is part of the story that, you know, that he really felt, you know, that Kol HaTorah Kula is interconnected with itself, Torah Megillah and Torah Chasuma, not only in, you know, Miktsoos HaTorah, you know, all the Miktsoos are necessary for each other, even though they're also separate, but I think all of the details, all of the mitzvos are connected, you know, to each other. So that's an ongoing, that's a like an objective question generally, you know, about the, it expresses itself in so many different areas. So again, when he uses this expression here, when he's saying basically that if you're a mumma for even the teyavon for this, that that spills over into that, in addition to the behaviorism, in addition to the shame gabra, or maybe connected to the shame gabra, may also be, and maybe that's part of the expression of averim and averis, that's what Josh wants to say, is that it's all, you know, you may think, you know, that your, you know, laxity, you know, in Kalayim has nothing to do with your, you know, perspective on Shechita. You know, but both as a religious personality, you know, both in terms of discipline, both in, and in terms of religious persona, and maybe even in terms of the integrity of, you know, your performance of any particular mitzvah, right, there is a connection. Yeah.
Also include a mumar lahachis, and I say this because when the Rambam talks about min,
yes,
he says, "O min, who are kofer b'torah v'moshe rabbeinu k'moshe b'yarnu b'hilchos tshuva."
Right.
And hilchos tshuva, unlike hilchos rotzeach, the Rambam right. does not include a mumar lahachis as part of the hagdara of min.
The only problem with that I had again, and we could add to that the fact that all that the Ramach and the Magen Mishnah, all of them say like, where is Mumar L'Haches here? The problem with that is, it's going to leave you to conclude that Mumar L'Haches Bodek Sakin helps, and that doesn't make any sense.
Why not?
Because Bodek Sakin, well, why wouldn't, even if you're Bodek Sakin, if it's Beno Leveno, if he's a Mumar L'Haches, why would you trust him?
Probabilistically, there's an umdana that he's going to be.
I mean, the Gemara says explicitly that the only reason Bodek Sakin helps you is because of Shabbat Kater of Yochel Yisur. It's hard to, I think it's impossible to say that Bodek Sakin can help a Mumar L'Haches. I don't think you need to say, which I think is what you are trying to say also for the Rambam, we'll talk more about this, that I don't think you need to say that a Mumar L'Haches is a min, you know, or an Ovid of Adazara, according to the Rambam. I don't think if that sounds that way, that that is true. It doesn't sound that way in the other, like, we'll get to, again, Shigogos and Maisar Kabanos in just a minute. But to say, which is why I think it's so striking, because it's, that's why I say, I think it's clear that that not only are we also, but we're only speaking about Momar L'Teyavon in this halacha, because Bodek Sakin works. It can't work if you don't have L'Shava Kateira. Again, the Rambam says that explicitly. We know that anyway from the Gemara. But if you want more of a raya, you know, when he talks about Mishu Pasol Yedus B'Averim and Averos, I'll also use the expression Averim and Averos, right? But there it's a one-time, assume that the Nosa Kalem are right. It's not a Mumbar, right? So he says, Areza Shochet Beino Levein Atzmo, Imhoye Mumcha Sheinu Meniach Davar Mutar V'Yochol Davar Haser. I'm saying, so he, it's, again, I think I mentioned that the Magad Mishnah wonders how come he mentions L'Shava Kater V'Yochol Yisura, you know, in a Avaryan, a Russia, when the Gemara only mentions it in, you know, Ochal Neveil Sotayava. I think it's curious. I think it's also curious that the only thing that the Rambam does mention in Perek Dalet is Mitrach Tarach. But I think, again, that was intentional, because the Rambam's not interested in Halacha Yud Dalet, in my opinion, in mitigating, you know, in moderating, you know, the status of Mamur L'Teyavon. He's interested in, you know, accentuating it and you know, and projecting it, you know, L'Chumra. So he leaves out L'Shava, of course he believes in it, because that's implicit in Bodek Sakin, you know, but he wants you to know, even Mitrach Tarach, you know, of course, there's still L'Shava Katera, but he doesn't want to mention that there, because the whole point is he's trying to hit you on the head that this is, you know, he's a Meshumad. You know, even to the point of, you know, tricking you, you know, into thinking that we might be talking also about Lahakas here. I just don't think it can be true.
Right, but if I understand Rabbi correctly, he's saying the problem with Mumar Lahakas is not that he's puzzled the gabber like a guy for Shlita, but rather that we can't possibly trust him because of his aversion or apathy to doing mitzvahs.
Correct.
But would Rabbi say that a Mumar Lahakas de Achei Rod also? Is that possible?
Yes. I'm not sure, but I think so. And that's a debate in the Rishonim, and we'll talk about that also, but I do think that that's very possible, Rama. Again, what is clear is that, when it comes to Chicago, what is it, Chicago? I keep mixing them up, but Chicago's or Meisar Kavanos, Chicago's, I think. In both places, the Rama says, Bain Lib, you know, the Rama does equate Teyavon and Lahachas. We'll get to it in a minute. And I think that is interesting, as opposed to, he doesn't call either of them, you know, Mumla Barzara, you know, Yain Nesach, Shabbos Bifaresia. But I do think that, you know, maybe, again, this is hard to know. Like, when it comes to the debate, I'll just throw it out now and we'll get back to it. When it comes to the debate about the status of Mumla Hachis, whether it is, again, the status of Mumla Teyavon, pretty much we're trying to say, the big debate is, you know, he's a pretty good guy, but, or he's, you know, he's really, you know, a Russian. When it comes to Mumla Hachis, of course, the debate is, you know, min a kofer, an oved avodah zara, right? Or he's, you know, he's just a mumar. Right? But clearly, it's a din gavra. So I don't think that the fact that the Rambam, you know, I think is you know, takes the more moderate view on Mumla Hachis, but by virtue of that, somewhat equates Mumar L'Teyavon and Mumar L'Hachis, you know, and therefore his lack of, you know, being mefaret, you know, and leaving it to for you to figure out, or in some cases it's both, or whatever. I don't think that is a coincidence either. Just that's not so much a chiddush in the, you know, in the Mumar L'Hachis. It's not a chumra in the Mumar L'Hachis, but I do think it's also part of his chumra for Mumar L'Teyavon. Between Lahakas and correct, 100%. I was going to mention that also. And I do think even though when the Rambam, I'll get to it in a second, but even in Hilchos Tefillin, you know, which Nos Kenim have a tough time, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, there too he uses the expression Stam, you know, Mumar or Meshuma or whatever it is. So the Nos Kenim, we'll look at it in a minute, but the Nos Kenim, you know, the Kesef Mishnah, the Gra, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, some of them say, oh, he must be talking about a Mumar L'Kol Tavar Kula. Or a Mumar L'Avodah Zara. Or maybe a Mumar L'Chalas Shabbos Parasya. But again, it doesn't say it. And I find that, again, curious. So it sounds like maybe even a Mumar L'Teyavon. That would be amazing if that's true. So anyways, so this, and then of course this is connected to the Rambam about the need for Mumcha, as we discussed, and the fact that he's part of a different population. Or the Beis Halevi's idea that he lacked Chesed Kasher. But this, I think, is the overall shita of the Rambam. Now, the Natan brought to my attention. Where is Natan? Not here? Okay. Natan mentioned to me, I don't have the language. You have it? Is the Hamek Davar that he...
I don't know if Natan would approve of Josh getting to quote it for him.
What?
I don't know if Natan would allow Josh to quote it for him.
I know, but he's not here. Do you have the language of the...
Yeah.
And what's the... Where is it? Vayikra?
Bamidbar?
I'm sorry, Bamidbar? And then that parsha of the...
Yeah. It's so long. What, which part did he...
When he quotes the Rambam and Mordechai.
He's already like trying to make it look worse.
We can wait till he comes back.
He quotes Rambam at the beginning.
Yeah.
We can wait for
him. He also there seems to talk about Gabra Meshumad. He quotes Rambam in Mora?
He says, Pirish HaRambam, the 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 Zeh Koi, I'll call Asher Taseb Ya Rava, it's going on Kol Pate HaMetzos, Apilu HaMetzos HaSei, Zeh Shavu HaKe Torah, the Olu Shin, 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 the Olu Shin,
okay, you know, I'll get the exact line. Okay, so anyway, the point is that, anyway, for me at least, the point is that the Rambam really, you know, by what he codifies, what he does it, what he adds, the language, the whole bit, the whole package, as basically we've been discussing, I think conveys very, very clearly a very consistent, harsh view of the Momar L'Teyavon, again, in light of David's comments just a couple minutes ago, which I wanted to bring in anyway, I mean that idea, I don't think, you know, that he's equating Mumar L'Teyavon L'Hachis in this particular halacha because of the Bodek Sakin part, but I do think that in general, when, you know, to the extent that he does, of course, there are still differences, overlap the two, I think that it is, you know, because he thinks that Mumar L'Teyavon is a proper, you know, member of that club, you know, more so than that he's, you know, moderating Mabel Haches, which I think is very, very important. Okay, so this is what we saw and where we were. Now, I want to just bring it to the other Gemaras and the Rama Menuchas Shkagos and Maitzah Karbanos and Tfilin and Matnas Aniyim, just to see, to follow up on the Rambam, and then we'll try to circle back a little more and see what the other Rishonim say, well, although we've already seen it. Some of the Rishonim, they say, this Rishonim disagree, can disagree for one of two reasons. They can fundamentally disagree with the Rambam, that Mumla Teyavon is always just a kind of Yitzro Tokfo. Again, I don't want to take it, you know, too to the extreme. Of course, he's responsible for what he does, and we look askance at his behavior, and so on, but that's far cry from seeing him as a Russia, you know, in that sense. Or this idea that we can more compartmentalize, not necessarily because mitzvos are compartmentalized, it could just be because, you know, in the there's an understanding or, you know, a more, I don't know, critical view maybe of what a shame, you can be a shame Russia for this, the selectivity of shame Russia, I guess, you know, can be part of the story. You're a Russia legabe this, it doesn't mean you're a Russia legabe that, you know, and so on. So that is something that we should look at. But to do that, I want to just take a look now at these other Gemaras. So let's start with the Gemara in Chulin itself. Let's see. Tzvi, do you mind? So where were we in the Gemara? Let's just go through the Gemara quickly because I still have to get back to Avodah Zarah. But I want to try to move a little more quickly. So we were on Daven Amud Beis. If we could just get through Hey Amud Beis very quickly. And then I want to talk about Horia. Just get the Gemara's Horia's and Vardazon and see what the Rambam did with them. Yeah. So we have the Shakavataria, this Tosefta, two ways to look at it. Right, Tzvi?
Yeah.
What were the two ways?
Correct.
Excellent. Yeah. So, by the way, this thing about Nobis Kochal, we still have to get back to this, but of course, this is a shocking development a little bit, right, Zvi, the Ravanan, that a Mumma Lavanazara Mutar Lechol Mishchitasa. Okay? So, typically, again, we're just very, you know, habituated to thinking, and that's basically the Psak, that a Mumma Lavanazara is a Mumar Lechol Tavar Kulam. We still need to understand what that means. But this is, talk about compartmentalization, right? You can even compartmentalize. Maybe you can't maybe you can compartmentalize, you know, chelev, you know, or shchita. But can you compartmentalize avodah zarah? Right. And we'll see in a moment. I mean, you'd be paskin that you can't. And the question is, why can't you? You know, what is it about it? But of course, it's a very strong expression of compartmentalization. If you could. But what does it say about avodah zarah? That it's just, you know, a chiyuv, an isur. Probably, obviously, it's still not your standard, you know, isur. But again, it's a very remarkable idea. And the question is whether some of it, you know, is retained, even the maskana, even if we say mumi lavarazar is mumi lachal tarakula, right, there probably could be different reasons for that still, some of which continue to echo this view of Ravanan, which compartmentalizes it. By the way, Mashal Amad Avardoma, just another example, but some of you have learned about Azara, so there are even other examples of that. But there's a debate in the Gemara. Again, it's, you know, we typically, it comes tripping off our tongues, you know, when we talk about the Gimel Averos, right, where there's a din of Yahari Gval Yavar, even Betzina, right? And of course, is Gilei Arayos, Shlichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But it's fascinating that if you look at the Gemaras, right, not everybody seems to agree that Avodah Zarah is Yehareg, you know, Valyavar. And it's also an interesting question whether the view, what is it, Rabbi Shmuel, right, is of the opinion that unless it's Befar Hesya, there is no Yehareg Valyavar in Avodah Zarah. Now again, that also, you know, could be for a very different reason. You know, that is, we're talking about, of course, you know, ba'anus, you know, maybe it's a heter pikuach nefesh, or hafka, it's not considered avodah zarah ba'anus. That would have nothing to do with Ravanan. Ravanan is a case where the fellow is over avodah zarah, you know, benezit. And we just want to know, is that a containable, you know, pathogen, or you know, that destroys, or is the equivalent, you know, of rejecting Kol HaTarkul. We'll see the language in the Gemara in just a minute. But the question of Yehareg Val Yavar might be a totally different question, because there is counter pressure in that case. Let's say the question of Pikuach Nefesh, Onus, it's not, it's done by Onus. So there could be other reasons. It's also interesting to wonder whether that view, that there's no Yehareg Val Yavar in Avodah Zarah, you know, what does it think about, you know, Rotzeach, and about Eli Arayos. The Rotzeach part, you can say, well, that's, you know, that's Misvara, my Chazis, you know, so maybe, again, if it would affect all three, this is a debate in the Rishonim. If you look at the Rishonim and Avodah Zarah, you know, and elsewhere, but mostly in the Sugyas and Avodah Zarah, the Kav Zayin, particularly, there seems to be a debate among the Rishonim, whether or not there's no Yehareg Val Yavar, or only Rotzeach, or you know, or only not Avodah Zarah. If it's only not Avodah Zarah, and it still is Gilei Arayos, you know, that is, you know, that is curious. That's interesting. That's closer to what we're talking about here. Unless, again, Avodah Zarah ba'anus, because it's not really Kabbalah Elokus, you know, so maybe that's the point. But as opposed to Arayos and Rotzeach, which are effect-oriented or result-oriented, so that's a different story. So this is a very intriguing, you know, thing to think about. Again, it's also intriguing that the makar for Yehareg Val Yavar in the Sugya in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalid, and in Psachim is Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. That's something that the Ram Chalava in Psachim and the Ran also in Psachim, you know, discuss, right? The makor for Yehari Vayavar and Avodah Zarah is the Haftas Hashem Lokecha. How do you know that that refers to Avodah Zarah? Right. This is a technical question, but it's not just a technical question. Right. So again, it's interesting that the pasuk, you know, that the makor, and we pasuk in this way, of course, isn't something more explicit in the parsha of Avodah Zarah itself, right? Which may affect how we understand the whole thing, and also how we understand those who disagree. Okay, so that's, I just think, bring it as a parallel. It's an important parallel. We might, you know, distinguish between them in either direction, but these are things that should be looked at, you know, together. Okay. So Rav Hanan, Gemara is going to analyze this a little more. Go ahead. Gufa. Tzvi, go ahead. Vesiteu sounds like it sounds like, you know, the eating part, not the, there's no hasata in, you know, oh my goodness, you know, we did a shechita together. Right. Okay. Vidilma, I mean, we like shechita, but okay, Vidilma. Yeah. Okay, they're interesting gemaras, but we get the idea. Okay, Vidilma. Yeah. Okay, Ibai Sema. Okay, so Gemara's working very hard, right? But you read it very well. Thank you. So basically, it sounds still like what? Yeah. So it sounds like Ovid Avodah Zarah. You know, the Efshar Lachal Mishritasa. Okay, Min Alam. Okay, that's interesting. Al Pia Dibor Shiny, right? We're not going to get to that right now, but we'll talk about it, pick up on that. Maybe we'll come back to that. There's a special heter, correct? Okay, my...
Okay.
Good. So what do we have, basically? Again, we're still at a standstill. It sounds like... Yeah. Which, again, is shocking, but... Okay, go ahead. The same Brisa, right? The same Tosefta. Okay. So first of all, just here, again, I'm going to get back to this a little bit, but something should be said about the formulation, right? Namely, Chamura over Kokavim. Go ahead.
Sure.
What do you think? What's interesting about that? Again, we'll get back to it, because I want to speak a little more about Avodah Zarah, not too much, but... First of all, it's inverted from what you would have expected. Like, there might be significance or might not. You would have expected what? Exactly. And you do find that phrase, so, kolamode b'Avodah Zarah kekofer b'chol haTorah kula. Even that is an interesting phrase, because you could have said that Avodah Zarah, when you want to say that Avodah Zarah is Koveya, right? You first of all could have said that it's Midin the Chomer Haveira. The Chomer Haveira. You could say per se Avodah Zarah, like is Omeid Keneged or Shaveh, just like we say, you know, we have these phrases all the time in Chazal. You know, that you know, Mitzvah Sitzis is Shkula Kala Tavar Kula. Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. You know, you could say, you know, Avodah Zarah as an Haveira is Shkula, you know, Keneged Kula. That's number one. That would imply, you know, that it's simply the Chomer Ha'avera, itself, which is Koveya. So, for example, in the world of Yehari Vayabor, that actually may be true. It could be that the reason that I'm talking about not Rabbi Shmuel, but the way we paskin, when we say that Avodah Zarah is Yehari Vayabor, it could be it's simply a din in the Chomer Ha'avera. I mean, there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh, you know, as much as Petra Pikuch Nefesh is an expansive idea, but when it comes to something as chomor, there are things, you know, it hits a wall, there are things that are, you know, not overridable under any conditions because they're, you know, extreme intrinsic severity. You know, that is the din of Avodah Zarah. I wouldn't phrase that by saying Kalamode Avodah Zarah, Kalamode Avodah Zarah Kekofer B'chol haTorah Kula. Unless I was speaking of, you know, just trying to find a dramatic way to speak about the result. But if I was trying to describe the essence of what it is, I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, Avodah Zarah, Chamorhu, the Ein Heter Pikuach Nefesh, the Ein Ptur Anus, you know, etc. So that's number one. And it's basically, again, we'll talk a little more about it, but this is the question. Whenever we deal with Avodah Zarah having a singular status, basically, there are different things that we can say. One is the Chomer Hadavar. Right? That's not what seems to be emphasized in the language of this Gemara. Even if it had said, Kolamode Avodah Zarah, Kekofer B'chol haTorah Kula. But by inverting it and saying it even, you know, in the opposite, more surprising way, right? How does it go? Kolakofer B'Avodah Zarah, Kemode B'chol haTorah Kula. Right. Not only is the Gemara avoiding that, so what are they really saying? What does that mean? What is the implication of that?
Kind of like before we were done with that, it's like this one stop, it's the reverse. One, you're actually focused on one thing,
Exactly. In other words, so this is what I would say. I would say there are three levels of things that you could say. One is, again, the Komer HaAveira, the Mais HaAveira per se. The second is, you know, the implication of that Aveira, you know, across the system. But again, not as a Mais HaAveira, you know, but as, like, you know, I would say if you're, you know, Ovid of Avodah Zarah, so in addition to the Chomer Mais HaAveira, then, you know, can what it reflects about your you know, the implications of what it means for everything else, you know, is also a din. Right? That would I say, like, you know, Shkula he could call in that sense. But by using this phrase, by inverting the formulation, what the Gemara seems to be saying about Avodah Zarah is that I'll use my phrase. It's a kind of a linchpin, you know, mitzvah in another way. Now, it's not only, in other words, what your attitude is toward Avodah Zarah is koveya, how we look at your performance of other mitzvahs. What we're saying is, if you are shomer, Taryav mitzvos, belia avodah zara, because it is such a linchpin idea, then you're not really shomer taryav mitzvos. Right? That's what you want to say to me, right? Yeah. Haven't had a chance to call in years.
They didn't cover the issue. I'm just curious, particularly with avodah zara, maybe others as well, but arrives in could they be seen as fear of
say that again? Kfira?
Kfira against the Beis HaMikdash in Kodshim, which in Rebbe's view places such a strong emphasis on Kulin as an outgrowth of Kodshim, Shlitas Kulin and Shlitas Kodshim.
Right.
These, so first of all, Avodah Zarah, we can understand how that could be Kfira on the concept of Kodshim. In other words, it's not that it's the entire Torah Kula, but it's adopted that the issue of Kodshim.
Or you mean on Shchita? But to remember, this line of the... I understand.
Right.
No, I do think that's true.
But even the other two, given that they all come at the moment of Noach's korban, that the mitzvahs of Noach, which also includes Shvichas Damim, which could have also been a fuki from the practices of those who would practice human sacrifice, and even on Arias, which also has sort of integrated into the world of Avodah Zarah,
in Los Eschatim, for sure, as we
right.
said. I do think that those things are true. I think this line, and I'm going to get back to some of those things with respect to the implications for Shechita, more particularly in the Vela and so on. But I think that this line in the Gemara is saying so much more than that. Because it's not limited to Shechita and the Vela. Right. This line is saying, if you are Modeh, if you're kofar b'avodah zarah, that any other thing that you do is, you know, is assessed within, you know, the Jewish community. In other words, so you're a good Jew, you're a better Jew, you know, but avodah zarah, you know, kind of makes, that's what I mean by being a linchpin mitzvah. Without the framework, you know, or within the framework of being an Ovid avodah zarah, you're just an outsider. You're not a flawed insider. I think that's much more. What you're saying is something like, if that were not true, then another level would be like, what are the implications of certain averos for certain other areas of mitzvos where they have a particular affinity, and if not directly, you know, then, you know, through a deeper understanding of what they are.
I almost see that as the
gist
of Anon.
Nor of Anon. Mean it's a special din in Ochel Shvitaso? He's saying you could. Or even Ochel Shvitaso. I hear. That could be. But so now you're not explaining this line in the anti-Rav Anan. You're saying Rav Anan is saying, when he says Ochel Shvitaso, he's saying not only is it not true that this is a linchpin, you know, which gives you a perspective on everything else, but even in areas where you would think there would be a more particular affinity, right, even that is compartmentalized. I hear. Interesting. I think it is mechudash. I think you could have drawn the line differently, even for Avonah. I think that's a good argument. Okay. So this is a very fascinating idea. this idea that there are certain mitzvos which constitute like a framework for everything else. Again, we see you as a flawed insider, we see you as an outsider. What we're saying is Avodah Zarah establishes you, your attitude, but again, he's saying in the positive here, as long as you're, you know, going to be kofar b'Avodah Zarah, you're an insider with flaws. You know, but the point is that that's even more mechudash than saying it the opposite way, frankly. Okay. Let's continue. Go ahead. Oh, so this is very important. Now we're getting back. So we took a little foray for an amud, you know, to speak about Avodah Zarah. And I want to get back to that, especially when we get to the end of the sugya, to speak about like different aspects of Avodah Zarah, like, you know, heretical beliefs, where you're not actually over to Avodah Zarah. Or again, mum lahakis, according to some. You know, again, what is really numumar, you know, lachalos ha-shabbos b'farhesya, right? And when it comes to Shkita more particularly, it also gets back to what the Rambam really held about Shkita's Gertoshav and Kuti and Benoach and so on. So we'll get back to that a little bit. Right. But now we're back to the Gemara discussing, okay, so now we're back to Rava, essentially. Correct? See? Yeah. So now the Gemara wants to bring a Raya for Rava. Correct?
Right.
Again, Meisvei. Oh, okay, let's be careful here how we root this is a little slower. So Mikem Velo Kulchem Lotzi Samumer said where? Vayikra Aleph. What's Vayikra Aleph? Correct. Exactly what I'm looking for. So that is talking about, as the Gemara will explain in the continuation, a Korban Ola, and the implication is Mikem Velo Kulchem, right, Lahotzi Samumer, there are some Avaryanim who will not be Makabel, a Korban Ola from them. Very interesting. Okay. On the other hand, go ahead, Mikem, meaning
that there's this prelate between Sharem and Avaryanim by Jews, where you won't accept the Korban Dabba from Abu Arba for Mimona Olam, you accept even if they're from the Korban.
And that's Mechudash or? Yeah. I mean, again, how do you understand it? Well, first of all, the minimum means that the mumar in question here, Lahotzi Samumar, we're going to see who that is in a moment, we can't say that he's Ka'akum. He's worse than Ka'akum. I mean, he's disappointed us. He's not just lacking Kedushas Yisrael, because lacking Kedushas Yisrael in this particular application, for many things, that's good enough. Well, that's the important thing. Here, you can be, or you should be, Makabel an Ola from a non-Jew. So lack of Kedushas Yisrael isn't the issue. We see from here, or in this context, Mumar, right, is a corruption. The corruption within Klal Yisrael is worse than having no Kedushas Yisrael. Okay? And we don't make this kind of division, which explains the Velo Chilakti. Right? This is B'Toras, a flawed, deeply flawed, an abuse of Kedushas Yisrael, whereas you don't need Kedushas Yisrael, and since you don't even need Kedushas Yisrael, even an Akum, now remember, an Akum of Aryan exists, right? Shavmitz B'nei Noach. And actually, they're capital crimes. And as we've discussed many times, right, they're just like core, you know, things. They're basically, you know, very, you know, fundamental, you know, minimal values. So you can have a Russia Akum, right? But still, Mubim Mikabel is Karban. And it's an amazing halacha, basically. But it definitely shows that there's a din of Mumar that, you know, is worse than lack of Kedushas Yisrael. Okay, let's continue. Okay, it's a little rough of a limud, right? But it means that even people that we're not so happy with, you know, and again, you know, Moser Ha'adam Ayin, you know, the idea of man and Behema, the Kedusha Sa'adam is basically what we're saying here. I mean, even somebody who we think is really quite flawed will still be Mekabel his Korbanos. Okay. We're not saying he's a tzaddik, right? And we're not saying that he isn't corrupted his Tzelem Elokim in some way. Okay. Mikan Amru, Mekabim Karbanos. And the Kedei, by the way, is very important here, in my opinion. Meaning, it sounds like, and that goes along with the, you know, expression of you know, Mina Behema Lahavi Ladam Shadoma Lebehema, where, you know, it's very unflattering, right? So along with the unflattering portrayal of the people that we do accept karbanos from, we're also declaring that the reason is Kedei Shiyachsru Ben Betshuva. It sounds like a special mat here. There's a certain, again, I can't be, you know, 100% sure of this, but it sounds to me like what we're saying, and I think the Rambam read it this way, the Rambam reproduces the words Kedei Shiyachsru Ben Betshuva, which you typically might not have in the codification. It sounds like you think that's important, right? So it sounds like it's a mat here, but that there's reason to think that we wouldn't accept the karbanos of these people either if it wasn't Kadeshi, you know, Sheyasru Betshuva, correct? Which implies a pretty severe perspective on who these, you know, walking behemos Jews are. We'll see who they are in a minute. Okay, chutz. Okay, so Menasseh Chatzayin and Mechal Shabbos for Hesyar is kind of the equivalent of Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Mechal Shabbos for Hesyar. Okay. Well, as for the Mina Mumars, we'll see in a second, that's a tricky one. Okay, go ahead.
Oh.
Okay, fine. Let's leave that for a second. But what's interesting about this? So for our purposes, I mean, we care about, we're doing Ravanan at the same time too. But getting back to the Mumar for a moment, Zvi, what do you think? So the Mitziyasa is talking about what? Mumar ledavar echad. Mumar ledavar echad. But the only reason for that is kedei la kedei sheyasru b'tshuva. Okay. And what's also striking is, does it make, what about mumar la'osa davar? Doesn't register one way or another. And it could have, in theory. Meaning, with, to answer the Gemara's question of the Seifa, right? We ended up having to kind of, you know, oh, we mean mumar, right? L'nasei chasayayin l'chal l'shabbos. But the original text sounds like there's a category called mumar. It would have been perfect to stick in there, right, mumar lo'osa davar, right? No, but mumar lo'osa davar, why not? We don't accept a mumar lo'osa davar or a mumar la'avodah zarah v'lechal la'osa shabbos across the board. You think that would be so strange?
Okay, a little strange.
Okay, I hear, but I don't think it's so strange. Better than if you were like, you know, if you had the choice, you know, the literary choice. You'd rather say that the word mumar means mumar le'naseh chesayayin v'lechal zarah or... Like, okay, open question. I would have said the other way, but yeah, simple. Oh, okay. So that's a good question. That's a very good question. that is a good question. We'll discuss this, but Ola is also Ba'al Mitzvah Saseh. What? Doesn't have to be. Correct. But to the extent that there is that, it could be category, right? Although we'll discuss it. We'll see whether mumar le'oso davar in a lav, is equivalent to mumar le'oso davar in an aseh. Okay, so that's a good har. Make sure that we get back to it. I do want to get to that when we discuss. We're going to run through it now, just very quickly, but when we run through, I want to talk a little bit about Olan Khatas and the Skamar. I think I foreshadowed that a couple of weeks ago, that we're going to get to that. So they remind me on that point. But okay. We'll see in a minute that even though the Rambam does say Mikem Velo Kulchem, this is the bigger point I'm trying to make, the reason I'm bringing it up, is that the Rambam did introduce Mumalos Adaba, both in Hilchos Ma'aser Karbanos and in Hilchos Shkagos. Ma'aser Karbanos is dealing with also Ola, and it's the Limud, not Me'ama Aretz, which is the Parsha of Chatos, but Mikem, the Parsha of Ola. So actually, Simchas Ha'ara is even more interesting in light of that, in a way. Okay? So we'll get to that in a few minutes. Good. Either way, the takeaway from this Gemara is that there is something called a mumar l'chol ha'tavar kula, mumar l'naseich yayin, which is the equivalent of Arzara and Shabbos. Right, it sounds like everything else you'd certainly accept karbanos from. If you just had this Gemara alone, what would you say about mumar l'teyavon and l'oso davar? That you'd mekabel as karban. Correct? Okay. As we'll see, the Rambam... So you saw it? What's the Rambam paskin that way or not? No. Rambam paskin, the mumar l'oso davar, bein l'teyavon, bein l'hachis, right, which he emphasizes very strongly and keeps calling him a mishumud, that we're not mekabel his karban l'oso davar. And the question is, where did he get it from? Maybe he got it from the Gemara in Horios. We'll get to that in just a second. Okay, let's just continue a little bit more in the Shaka Vatari. Go ahead. There's another makar. There's a sugya in Horios. And again, it says prat lemumar. It doesn't say which kind of mumar, correct? Yeah. Shimon Yossi Omer. Okay, what do you think, just in general, what's the relationship between those two limudim? But aside from what the Gemara is about to say in a minute, my benayu, just in terms of the character of them. Excellent. Maybe at least. Yeah. Okay, it's these 100%. Meaning the pasuk me'ama aretz prat l'mumar sounds like it's a hafgas agavra, right? He is a rasha who can't. We're not going to be makabla's korban because of who he is. Again, you could say who he is because of what he did. Okay, but the emphasis in the limud is certainly who he is, his status as a mumar. Whereas shav midiaso or shev midiaso, the different ways to pronounce it, is could very well be a din, as we just correctly said, in the process of tshuva. Or another way to say it is, I guess the easiest way to say it is, if the mechayev of a chatas, kulo or miktsaso, is the act of shkaga, right? So when you happen to be a shogeg, but that's not the reason, for your avera, right, then maybe you shouldn't bring a karban. No, I'm a shogeg. I thought I was eating, shuman, and it turned out to be chaylev. Right, but had I known that it was chaylev, I might have put some more salt on it, but, I would have jumped in and eaten it anyway. Maybe without a bracha, maybe with a bracha, depending on how like Rambam on the Ravid, but I would have eaten it. Right? Not me, I hope. So... That's called Shav Midyasa. So the point is, what is the din of Korban Chatas? You bring a Korban Chatas when you do an Avera B'Shogeg? He did an Avera B'Shogeg. He didn't know what he was doing. Not Mesasek. He had wrong information. He did an Avera B'Shogeg. Or you bring a Korban Chatas, right, when, right, you, because of a Shogeg, right, you do an Avera. Right? The Shkaga is the circumstances of the Avera. I mean, even if you're a mumar lahachis, right? Still, an Avera B'shogeg itself is different than an Avera B'mezid. It's not an act of merit. So you can still say there's still a chalos Avera B'shogeg. But if the mechayiv of the korban is, you know, zeh sheshogag, right? It's hard to say that when he would have done it anyway. So it could be that Shev Midyaso is not at all like the Hafka of Mumar. That's an internal, that's a din in the Mechayev of Korban Chatos. Or no. Maybe Shev Midyaso, maybe from a Mechayev of Chatos, it's fine. Maybe this is the Torah's way of saying you have to be a Gavra, right, who's not a Osa Veros Benezit. Right, I agree with Tzvi, I think, as much, but we'll see. Okay. If you take the second view, if you take the view of Rav Shimon ben Yossi, so for example, the connection to Ola, right, is much more problematic. That's if there's a din, you know, that we're trying to figure which Gavra brings a korban, which does not, who are we mekabel a korban from. That's one issue. Right? But if we're talking about if we're talking about, you know, the dynamics of Korban Chatos, then it makes sense to distinguish between Ola and Chatos. By the way, regarding Simcha's question, just so we'll get back to it just for a second, we are talking about Ola in the first Mikam, correct? And which is why also the Kedei Shiyachsru Behem B'Tshuva, right, is something that should be looked at. Okay, we'll get back to that. Right, is there really a tshuva in an Ola? Okay, so this is the two Deos. In Horios, it's left like this or not? What? Yeah, so we'll read Horios in just one more second. Let's get these Gemaras in, and I just want to get to the Rambam, and then we'll stop for today, and hopefully we'll finish all this stuff on Tuesday. Go ahead. So the Gemara says, L'nai nafkamina, my benayu. Oh, so what do you think about that? So, yeah. So we'll see the Tosas. Tosas here has a whole discussion. Is that Tosas? What does it mean? How could there even be a Hava Mina? Is this a din in Mumer L'Davar Echad and Mumer L'Kol Torah Kula? Or is this a din specifically in Chela V'Nda? Right, so 2 days in Tosas, which we'll get back to. But the second day of Tosas is that it's a special din about the kesher between Chelev and Dam. Correct? Yeah. That's the Odei Shalom. Mardavka b'Chelev and Dam pligi, shem shavin sheish karis b'shneim v'olam l'gavoa, v'nemru b'lav echad kol Chelev v'chol Dam. Even then it's fascinating. The Tanakhana chashav mumar la'osa davar, ki ilu mumar l'dam atzmo. Of a mumel echad mishari surim pshita the maybe korban al adam. And Rav Shimon says even that's wrong. What's the first answer in Tosas?
I'm saying that really when it says mumel echad really means he's the one called for kula. Except for
dam. Okay, two fascinating deos. We'll see if there's more. Babe, what bothered Tosas? Simply, how could anybody think that a mumel adavar echad is a mumel echad for kula? Right? Presumably we're talking about the Tayavon here. So again, in Horios, if we could just look at Horios for a second, do we have another, couple of minutes, right? I just finished Shach Vatari here till the middle, then we can turn to Horios and Avodah Zarah quickly. Go ahead. Yeah. Yashmina Nola. Okay. So on that's I'm going to talk about the tshuva point and the mumla osadavar point. Just remind me. Again, we'll do a quick job, but I want to touch on that, the relationship between Ola and Chatos, very quickly. I think we did earlier in the year, but I want to just elaborate a little more, especially for the Rambam. Like, are the differences between Chatos and Ola minute, and minimal, or are they really fundamentally different? So I want to talk about that. Okay, this Gemara is one of the important Gemaras for that. Okay, B'chol Heicha, okay. Let's quickly finish up this part. B'chol Heicha d'chsid b'heima. Like sometimes it's a good thing, a certain lack of guile or innocence, right? Okay. So then we have, after that, we have the kuti, and then we're pretty much on vav, vamid aleph in the middle. That's fine. Okay. So this is this Gemara basically leaves us with an impression, two things. So just number one, and we want to see if it's true, that number one, that if not for tshuva, a mumar, not l'avodah zarah, not l'shabbos, would be mufka from korbanos. Do we know if we're talking about mumar l'hachas or mumar l'teyavon? What? No. Not clear. Not 100% clear. Correct? Although we'll see, based on the Gemara in Horios, certainly it sounds like we're talking about Mumar L'Teyavon, right? So again, the idea, if we are talking about it, Mumar L'Teyavon, it's fascinating that the Gemara doesn't feel it needs to clarify it, right? Assuming we are talking about Mumar L'Teyavon, which certainly is Noveya for the Sugya and Horios, then the idea that if not for Kedei Tshuva, you would not be Makabal Korban from a Mumar L'Teyavon is fascinating. Moreover, when it comes to Chatas, right, the idea that a mumar lechalel, that a mumar leteyavon, assume we're talking about a mumar leteyavon. Mumar leteyavon bechelev is a mumar leteyavon bedam, right? That's also, like, shades a little bit of the Rambam, right? So again, Tosis tries to neutralize it by saying it's a mumar, for everything badam, or there's a kesher between chelev and dam. But even Tosis admits, even when they say that, to be that what? That especially in the second answer, let's say, but also in the first answer, that right, that psychologically and behaviorally, this is fascinating, just because you do one doesn't mean you would do the other. Now that acknowledgement, and yet the suggestion that because either you're a mumar l'chol tarakula, l'teyavon, let's assume, right, or that dam and chelev are from the same pasuk, they're the same type, that there's a special connection or affinity between them, which, by the way, Rishonim say that in Kol Gadol too, where this idea comes up a little bit in a slightly different way, in the beginning of Kol Gadol, in the Krisis parts of the beginning of Kol Gadol. So again, there's this question also whether Chelev and Dam is, considered to be a special affinity and connection. But either way, Tosis is acknowledging, which we know, which is that there are people who don't have a taiva for Dam, correct? And nonetheless, because of the formal din of their connection, so these all imply, ilav tshuva, a, right, and the both versions of Tosis, and the relationship between chelev and dam. Kol shekain, if you were to interpret kipshuto of the Gemara, that chelev and dam is just any mumla davar echad mumla davar lekol torah kula, right? All these imply that mumar l'teyavon is not just a behavioral chashad problem, but it is a shame, rasha. Okay, let's look for a minute. We'll stop in like 3 minutes, but let's look at least at Horios And then I just want to talk about the Rambam for a second, and then we'll pick up with this and try to finish it Tuesday. So what do we have in Horios on Yud Aleph? See? Correct, but it's a little bit different than here, right? So just run through it very quickly if you don't mind, just to get it. So that part's the same, correct? The Mai Binai was the same. And again, by the way, it makes a lot of sense, especially if we say that the Shav Midyaso is about the dynamic of tshuva and chatos, the mechayev of chatos, the gram, tos, etc. So what does Chelev have to do with dam? Correct? Whereas, if it's a formal din, you know, that a gavra mumar is mufka, and we're saying that this is alpi din, you know, the same category, either like tosis number one or tosis number two or something like that, or even if it's a broader din, right, then that limud makes more sense. But then here in Horios, interestingly, Rava himself, go ahead, Vaharava. Oh, that doesn't appear in our Gemara. Now that's because Rava thinks Mubla Teavon is all just behavioristic, and therefore, of course, it can't be. Or because, no, it's still a din in the Gavra, but we just don't project. You know, Gavra Rosh Hashal Chelev is a Gavra Rosh Hashal Dam. We do that for Avodah Zarah, right? Maybe. But we don't do that for Machalas Asuras. Okay. Elahacha. Meaning it's Mumal Osa Dabar, correct? The show cake. Yeah. So this sounds like to be what? The second one. Right. Meaning so this sounds exactly like our Chakira. Meaning, because Lo Shava, everybody agrees here that Lo Shava Katera B'Yachal Yisura. The question is, does that mean you're not a mumar? Right? Or you have a shame mumar, just because of Shavak HaTerev HaKhali Surah. Not going to get, it doesn't mean you're not a mumar. That seems to be the today, maybe, the today is in the Gemara here, whether you can bring a korban. That's amazing. And here we're talking about mumar l'tayavon. Now what's fascinating is, does the Gemara paskin one way or another? No, it's machlokas. But the Rambam paskins. And then he integrated it in to the whole other part, as we'll see in a moment. Tan Rabbanan. Okay, so what is this machlokas? So now the Gemara has introduced mumar l'hachis, right? And so again, but what comes out from the Gemara is what? That ochel teyavon is a mumar, right? So it said mumar l'hachis is a tzaduki or a min. And then you have an interesting discussion in the Gemara. Let's say you're a mumar for kelayim d'rabbanan. So again, from a Maisa Veira point of view, clearly that doesn't make any sense. Right? But in terms of Risha Sagabra or Gavra Rasha or Avaryon, if it's Yaduam before some, right, even though it's Drabanan, that can give you Doraisa status that excludes you from Karbanos. But how could that be? The answer is because it's a din of Risha Sagabra. It's a din of Mumrios. Right? Very important. OK? Okay? So then the Gemara says, Mumar pligi barabach of Rabina. Yeah. And finally, Mesve. Okay, that we'll have to discuss a little bit more. In Lahakis, what is this thing? What does it mean? The guy says, I have a passion to eat Dvar Iser. Not because his palate, is ravenous, you know, for sausages or whatever. But, you know, because it's Dvar Iser. That's a fascinating question. Is that considered Lahakis or L'tayavu? Like I wanted to, I need to take some to taste something at us. A fascinating question. Okay, and it may have a lot to do with the question of is there something in between Lahakis and the Teyavon? You know, and if so, what is that? Is it really in between, or does it belong to one or the other? Which again, very there are many ways to explain that issue, but at least we should be aware of it. Either way, what comes out of this Gemara is that there's something called Mum Lahakis where there's a debate what its status is. Right, min or mumar, whether it goes with mumar l'teyavon or not. But certainly, mumar l'teyavon emerges as a rasha, as somebody who is mufka from, or potentially mufka from karbanos. So what does the Rambam do with all this? Maybe this will conclude for today. Just copies it over, or he... Correct. Okay. So what does he do? Yeah, start with Maaser Karbanos. That's the first one. Is that right? Yeah, because in Chicago, he says, look at Maaser Karbanos, right? Gimel Dalet? And again, in the Frankel, it's Meshumad Labarizara. Okay, now Mekal Shabbos Farhasi doesn't appear in the Horiyoth, but it does in the Pulin, right? Is that right? Either way, yeah. So that's so he's already you see already he's just putting together the Gemaras, the Rambam. Okay, ein mekabel menu korban klar. Okay, so far it's consistent with the Gemara. Or meshumad in the Frankel. So again, notice he calls him again Mumur Meshumad L'Shara Veros. He does emphasize Kadesh Yaksar B'Tshuva. Sounds like otherwise you wouldn't, and it would belong, it would be the equivalent for this halacha with Mumur L'Avad Zara and Mumar B'Chalas Shabbat B'Farhesia. Okay? Go ahead. And then the coup de grace is Yadua. So those are all extra words. The halacha itself is not so clear, right? This is Mumma Ladavar Echad. Yeah. Go ahead. So here's where the Rambam says, again, the Gemara is not clear what it's talking about, right? And the Rambam wants you to know it's intentionally ambiguous. Right, because it doesn't matter. Again, if your argument in Chulin says nothing about Momoloso Aneira, or Lahakas Teyavon, and as far as the Teyavon is concerned in the Gemara Horios, it's a Machlokas. Right? So the Rambam doesn't have to paskin that way, and it's omitted in our Gemara. So the Rambam calls everything a Meshumad, and the emphasis on whom Mefursim Biyadua Lasos of Ahur Galba is his way of saying, I mean, kind of what I mean in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Daled. That's it. Here he says explicitly, Bein Lahachis, Bein L'Teyavon, right? Ein Mekabel Menu Korban La'osavei. Ketzad? Again, right? Now it's interesting because here he's talking also about Ola, because this is Maisa Karbanos. And the Pasuk, remember, is not me'amaretz, it's mikem. So really, he, again, he could have just, you know, this is really chulin and whatever, it's not horios. And yet, not only he's paskining and formulating very strongly, bein letev and bein laveira, the issue of, I'm going to have to stop in a minute, I see they're looking for me. Okay, let's just do shkagos, because that's, well, shkagos is what, gimel vav? Gimel zayin? It's just, Rambam is very consistent. Consistent in his complicated, you know, way of putting together all the Gemaras. Okay. Kvar Biarnu, go ahead. Right. Oh, here it's much more even up front. Right there, it's like, oh, like in Maisa Karbanos, it's the third case, which it is in the Gemara too. Here it's the second case, and you even get more in the cadences, the impression, like, you know, that there's an equation between Meshur B'Lavad Azor and Chal V'Shabbos B'Far Hesya, and a Meshur B'Lavera Mishar, by the way, Lavera Mishar Averos, right, very similar to the language in Shechita, as we discussed, and Mekavim Menuchat Asalos, okay. Meaning, it's not there are two different dinim, there aren't two different psukim, there are, there's just the same limud, correct? This is also Meshumad, Legabe Osodavar, he's a Meshumad. Ketzad? Again, Meshumad, yeah. Here there's an interesting discussion in the Mishnah Melech that I want to talk about. That is, when is the Chazar of Tshuva that we're talking about here? It's actually today is a little bit of Tosas and Chulin also, we still have to talk about, on Hayamid Beis. Tosas says, like, if, you know, it's Zevach Rishayim Toeva, what's the Kiddush here? So the Mishnah Melech discusses this for the Rambam. Maybe what will happen if he, after he did the Avera, he did Tshuva, and now he wants to bring a Karban, or does it depend on the time when he did the Avera? That's kind of close to this issue, too. We'll talk about that. Go ahead. You mean even if he's really a... it's not just if he's a mumar l'davar echad, that the olosa davar rather than imakabu nimenu. Even b'shogeg. Meaning he's paskening, like the horios now, where there's a machlokas. Right? It's not clear he has to pasken that way. Okay. Shemisha achal b'zadon. Again, bein lahachas, bein l'teyavon. Okay, that far we're not going. That we're passing like the horios part, not like the open question and the chulin part. Okay, but what emerges again in the Rambam, quite clearly, is his view that mumar l'teyavon and mumar lahachas are not very far from each other. Again, not shechita, but because of the sakin question. But you know, he both sees Mumar Lahachis as not an Avodah Zarah, as not a Min, but he equates it with Mumar L'Teyavon. And he creates, in Legabe, their status of a Meshumad, he equates them with everything, with all the other Meshumad. Right. So if you put together Horios, Chulin, and again, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, Shkagos, Maisar Karbanos, the Rambam seems to be taking a very clear position. Now, again, in Hilchos Tefillin, I think I mentioned Perek Aleph, Halacha Yigimel. Let's get that on the record for a second, and then we'll stop with that. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Again, the Nosei Kalim mostly don't understand this way. I think I found somebody. It could be our Mr. Zalman Meltzer. I have to check it again. Also read the Rambam the way I thought you could read the Rambam. And that is that he means... even a mumar, a regular mumar, mumar l'teyavon. Oh, I don't have it here. But Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel? Oh, I do have it here. I have a copy of it. I copied something one time. Yeah. Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah Shekasvan Apikores Yisarfu. Kasvan Kuti O Yisrael Mumar. Right? O Moser. Biad Anos O Eved Oisha O Katan. Relu psulim v'yiganzu, shenem rokshartum ksaptem, kol shemuzer alakshira, umamin ba, ushakosev. So mumar here, according to most of Nosei Kalim, just says mumar. They think it's mumar l'avodah zarah, they think it's mumar, lekol Torah kula. But it could be that it's mumal al sadabar, because the Rambam thinks that's a real mumar. The shitasa. Maybe even l'tayavon. Right? Okay. We'll stop here. I want to still talk a little bit about... I want to finish up talking about these issues. I want to talk about Avodah Zarah. And look at the Rishonim and Avodah Zarah too, the Tosas. You can just look at what else you can pick up. I don't want to give it too much, but maybe the Ran and Avodah Zarah. I still have to talk a little more about the Rajba, the Mishnah, the Melech. We'll try to get through all these Makoros on Tuesday. I'll probably give you a little more just to look at for Avodah Zarah and Chalas HaShabbos, because we're probably... And I want to talk about Olah and Chatas. Instead.
It's very interesting how this tshuva, the Rambam, in a lot of places emphasizes the Gavra aspect of tshuva over the Lysa aspect of tshuva.
What do you do?
He emphasizes the Gavra aspect of tshuva over the
Lysa aspect of tshuva.